Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Scott Hahn. Dr. Hahn is the founder and president of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. A professor at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, he holds the Pope Benedict XVI Chair of Biblical Theology at St. Vincent Seminary in La Trobe, Pennsylvania. He's the author of many books, including Kingship and Covenant, Covenant and Communion, The Biblical Theology of Benedict XVI, and A Pocket Guide to the Bible. His academic work has appeared in Catholic Biblical Quarterly, the Journal of Biblical Literature, and Currents in Biblical Research. He is the editor of the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, Love and Spirit, a Catholic Journal of Biblical Theology. We begin part one of our discussion, going inside the pages with Dr. Scott Hahn of Pope Benedict XVI's Apostolic Exhortation, Verbum Domini.
It's great to be with you, Chris.
It is a glorious time in our church right now with the release of the Word of the Lord, the Apostolic Exhortation. I just imagined you when you first saw it.
Well, I was in a state of ecstasy, but not nearly as much as when I was done with it. At several points along the way, I stopped reading and just bowed my head and closed my eyes and thanked God for one of the most amazing church teachings I've ever had the privilege of reading.
Any surprises?
Well, you know, in the sense that, I mean, there was nothing new except for the way that he formulated the church's teaching in the most illuminating and the most irresistible ways. I mean, he just took it to the next level. I don't think people recognize that from 1893 until the present, we've had more official church teaching on the nature of the Bible than in the first 19 centuries of church history put together. Mm-hmm. And of course, that is due in part to the fact that the Bible has come in under heavy attack from scholars and from people outside the church, you know, who've asked, you know, raised questions and doubts and that sort of thing. But when Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical in 1893, Providentissimus Deus on the Study of Sacred Scripture, this was a real Magna Carta, as it was called 50 years later by Pope Pius XII in Divino Afflante Spiritu that came out in 1943. And then in 1965, we had what was the third most authoritative official teaching of the Church on the Bible at the climax of Vatican II. Dei Verbum, the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation, which of the 16 documents of Vatican II is probably the most important and authoritative. And this is something that many theologians have said. It's also what then Cardinal Ratzinger had said. But since 1965, we've not had any document of this authority that has come out from the Vatican. So I welcome Verbum Domini and just say, you know, get it, read it, you know, and share it, and then go back and reread it as I'm doing now for the third time. What he is doing with the Scripture is really just sort of reclaiming it for the church and for the liturgy especially, and doing it in a way that is not argumentative. He's basically saying that the Bible is an ecclesial book. The church gave us the Bible, but the Bible was written for the life and the worship of the church. And, I mean, this is just something that any objective reader could have told us. It's just that we approach the Bible with so many subjective blinders that we're not really that open to things. But I can remember, you know, a while back just discovering in the New Testament, you know, in the institution narrative that Luke gives us in Luke 22, where Jesus says this cup is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, the kine diatheke in the Greek. You know, the first time the New Testament refers to the New Testament, it's talking about the Eucharist, which Jesus instituted. And then what does he say? He says, not write this in remembrance of me or read this in remembrance of me, but do this in remembrance of me. And this is, of course, referring to the Eucharist, which is the New Testament, the New Covenant. So the New Testament is a sacrament long before it ever becomes a document, according to the document. And the more we appropriate that and recognize, wait a minute, that isn't really controversial. That's a self-evident proposition. we're going to see just how much plain sense and yet how much supernatural insight is contained here at the very foundational level of this apostolic exhortation by Pope Benedict, Verbum Domini. You know, it's going to get Catholics off the defensive. It's like, you know, when people approach us and say, where do you find that in the New Testament? You know, you can say, well, what do you mean by New Testament? You know? Mm-hmm. Because what the New Testament means by the New Testament is the Eucharist, which constitutes the Church. You know, when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, you know, that's what all 12 disciples went out and did. Over half of the 12 never wrote a single one of the books of the New Testament, but all of them went forth baptizing and preaching and celebrating the Eucharist. And so the Church is itself what Jesus intended. It's what he instituted, and it's what he called the New Testament, the Eucharist. And this new covenant document that we have, we call the Bible, the New Testament, is not in any way made less important by subordinating it to what we experience in the Mass. It is elevated and transfigured. And suddenly, when you read the Bible in the context of the Church's life and worship and sacraments, it just takes on its properly divine meaning and power in our lives, but also in our life as, you know, in our lives as individuals, but most especially in our life as members of the family of God. I'm sorry for going on a lot, but I mean, I feel like, you know, all of this has been dammed up inside of me, and you're the first person I've had a real good chance to talk about this stuff with.
Well, Scott, it just was just a joy reading Verbum Domini, and I felt I was prepared for it in a very real way by you, because the work that you've done on the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, that glorious tome now that's put together all in one, as well as the Catholic Bible Dictionary, I mean, and just the wonders of that study guide you now have for the Lamb's Supper, it all put it together, and then it's almost as though the Holy Father himself just puts this glorious, long imprimatur on it. It's a wonderful time on Scripture.
I can't thank you enough for that, because I, you know, you often kind of work and work and work and work and wonder, you know, when are we going to see the fruits? You know, when will the harvest come and what will the harvest be like? And within 48 hours after the release of this document, I got about a half a dozen emails and text messages from colleagues and former students who were asking, you know, have you read this? Did you help him write this?
Really?
You know, were you the ghostwriter? And, you know, what I told them is what I'll tell you, and there's no, he's not reading me. I'm reading him, and I have been for nearly 30 years. I'm getting ready to celebrate my 25th anniversary as a Catholic, but several years before I became a Catholic, I discovered what I would consider to be the one who is singularly the greatest Catholic biblical theologian of the 20th and now 21st century. And, you know, we're too close to this to really get perspective, but I mean, this guy is one in a million. And because he's our Pope, people are going to say, well, Hans is saying that because he's playing power politics. He's, you know, laying down Trump or whatever. But the fact is, you know, at times I've almost had to fight regret that he became the Pope, because it stymied how much work he could get done, you know. But here, Jesus of Nazareth, Volume 2 is coming out. He's already told us he's working on Volume 3. But you are right. I mean, the Catholic Bible Dictionary that we were working on for 5 or 6 years is filled with the very teachings that Verbum Domini expresses even better. And likewise, the study guide on the book Revelation just shows us how the New Testament in general, and especially its climax, the book of Revelation, is all about what we experience, the mysteries of faith that are there in every single Mass, whether we know it or not, which is all the more reason why we need to get to know it. And so when we look at, you know, I've been privileged to work with our mutual friend Mike Aquilina in the St. Paul Center now for almost 10 years. And from the very outset, after conversations and prayer, we came to the conclusion that what we really wanted to be, what we wanted to do as our mission, was to help people read the Bible from the heart of the Church, and to show people that that's what the Bible itself is pointing to, and that this is also what the Church has been encouraging, and that when you bring these two things together, the sacred scriptures and the Holy Catholic Church, it's like nitrogen and glycerin. You know? Mm-hmm. It is so explosive, but not destructively, but, I mean, reconstructively and redemptively. And, you know, to get this document by Pope Benedict, you know, it's coming at a busy time of year, you know, right before Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, and it's coming after 2 years of waiting since the October 08 Synod. And so people are going to naturally have excuses for not reading it. But let's make it our joint prayer that they get over those excuses if mm-hmm. they read it.
Amen. Yeah. And right off the bat, he addresses something that has always, what I feel has been in the heart of what you've always tried to teach us, and it's about relationship. He wants us to enter into a relationship, doesn't he?
I mean, that's the key, and not just a relationship like you might have, you know, with the mailman, you know, or with the fellow who's down there at the gas station in your neighborhood. It's a covenantal relationship. It's very clear. You know, in part one, he sets forth the idea of a dialogue of love based on the word of truth that is ordered to our covenant bond with God. And I mean, a covenant bond is a family bond. So we have got to come to know God as Father by hearing him address us as sons and daughters, and by receiving the gift of the eternal word, who is his eternal son. And so when the word of Scripture comes to us, it's announcing the truth of the eternal word. You know, so we recognize why he says that Catholic Christianity is not a religion of the book like Islam is or Judaism is, and both of them claim to be, but rather it's a religion of the word. But that word is first a person, an eternal person, the eternal son, who comes to us and was prepared to come by all of the inspired words of sacred scripture. But ultimately, this is ordered to establishing covenant communion, an interpersonal bond of a love that goes beyond anything we've ever experienced on earth from our fellow humans.
We'll return in just a moment to continue our discussion on Verbum Domini with Dr. Scott Hahn.
The St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology is a nonprofit research and educational institute that promotes life-transforming scripture study in the Catholic tradition. Founded by Dr. Scott Hahn and with current Vice President Mike Aquilina, the center serves clergy and laity, students and scholars with research and study tools, from books and publications to multimedia and online programming. Their goal is to be a teacher of teachers. They want to raise up a new generation of priests who are fluent in the Bible and lay people who are biblically literate. This means more than helping people to know their way around the Bible. It means equipping them to enter into the heart of the living Word of God and to be transformed and renewed by this encounter. As Catholics, we read the Bible from the heart of the Church, in light of the Church's liturgy and living tradition. In this way, the St. Paul Center hopes to help people experience the heart-to-heart encounter that Jesus' disciples experienced on that first Easter night when they knew him in the breaking of the bread. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us, while he opened to us the Scriptures? The St. Paul Center welcomes you to their free online studies. Whether you're studying Scripture for the first time, looking to take your studies to a higher level, or whether you're ready for advanced training, you've come to the right place. The St. Paul Center offers 7 individual studies. Each study contains a complete text, including cross-references and links to Scripture and other church documents. In addition, for each track of study, they recommend books that will enhance your study in prayer and build your library of essential works in biblical theology and spirituality. The studies are free, but we do request that you register by going to salvationhistory.com/online-course-registration. Audio studies are also available. Just visit salvationhistory.com to view a complete library.
We now return to our discussion on Verbum Domini with Dr. Scott Hahn.
That invoking us to look towards the saints as well, I thought that was such a wonderful, precious little jewel in that whole document, where he outlines how the word has spoken to the hearts of such a vast array of those cloud of witnesses.
That's right. And when he identifies them, he's not just talking about the ancients, you know, the fathers and the doctors of the church. He gets quite contemporary by referring to St. Jose Maria Escrivá and how he is the one who kind of made it so clear that we all share this universal call to holiness. And, you know, it's so vivid when you realize that these saints that we are looking at are people who were walking this planet just a few years ago, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we have got to really accept the challenge of becoming saints ourselves, so that we can point the way for future generations also. You know, Chris, I want to just point out something, too, that, you know, when you pick up a document like this and you print it off, you know, from your computer or whatever, you might feel a little daunted. Oh, wow, this thing is like 200 pages. First of all, get over it. You know,
exactly.
These pages are small with huge margins. It's more like the equivalent of like 85 or 90 pages typed. And the second thing I would say is that when you pick it up, you recognize that it's really divided up into three bite-sized pieces. I mean, part one is verbum Dei, which is the Word of God. Part two is verbum in ecclesia, that is, the Word in the Church. And then part three is verbum mundo, the Word in the world. And so we discover that the Word is divine, that this is Jesus. You know, and remind you, as he points out, that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. But, you know, to get to know Jesus is to empower ourselves to go deeper and deeper into the Bible, but not just privately. I mean, devotional reading, academic study, these things are not discouraged. But within the church, as the family of God, that's where we hear the Word as the word of a father for his family and discover that it's a sign pointing to the gift of his Son, who gives us nothing less than his own sonship as well as his own mother. And so the Bible just has this amazing capacity to transform us, especially as we read it coming from a father that is addressing his family, of which we're all part. Part two, the Word in the church just follows naturally from that, because it shows us the inextricable link between the Bible and the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, and how if you're reading the Bible but you don't know the Eucharist is Jesus, you're not really understanding the Bible all that well. But if you're reading the Bible or just hearing it read to you in the church, you've got to recognize that the reason why you're coming to church, you know, is not just to fulfill yet another requirement so you don't have to go to hell or, you know, spend too much time in purgatory, but so that you can become exactly what you were made to be. And that is a saint, you know, a son of God, a daughter of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. And the final thing, part three, is the Word in the world. You know, what are we here for? To share this with other people. You know, we tell people about good movies we've seen, good concerts we've witnessed, you know, mm-hmm. whatever books we've been reading. Why not share with them, you know, the bread of life? Because let's face it, we're all starving beggars. We're looking for the truth of love. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just have the warm, fuzzy feelings that will fade. We want the truth of love that will abide, and the kind of commitment that is never just legalism, but really is true self-giving love. You know, and this is the only way we're going to find it, and it's the only way we're going to live it. I want to conclude. I'm going on, but I just thank God for a three-part document that starts right where we need to go, where we need to begin, and then ends up right where we need to go.
Oh, I just have to rest in that second part of the document as well, and the liturgy, that it's, he takes us through every aspect of the work of the people, not just the Eucharist, which would have been enough, but every sacramental encounter, the Word is present.
That's right. I mean, what I especially enjoyed was the Word of God and those who are candidates for holy orders. Mm. And what they need to do with this gift, and how they need to not only listen and hear it, but live it and share it, and what a transformation can come to our heart. In a restless world, we can find true peace, but especially when we make the Word of God, you know, what it's meant to be, and that is the dialogue of love that we call prayer. And I feel especially, grateful because, well, you know, every week I'm going out to St. Vincent Seminary and teaching future priests. And this semester I've been teaching them a course called Scripture and Liturgy. And so, you know, they had their assignments. They had all these readings. They had some papers to write. But when this document came out, I said, drop everything and read it and get back to me. And then just this past week, we all got together. And they were looking at me, and I was looking at them, and they were like, this is especially good for priests and future priests.
Wow.
And so I really would encourage you and all of our listeners to, you know, to share this with their priests and with young men who might be open to the calling to holy orders.
It is a remarkable time, again, for Catholics to really engage in again, that great gift of the word that's been given to us. And I, you know, I hope you don't mind, Scott, if I just shamelessly plug all of your stuff, because it just, every single book, it seems as though you have come out with, it, you can reference and use as a guide for each different part of this document. It's remarkable.
If you're asking for my pardon, I would say this. Few things are more easy to forgive than that.
Okay. But we're all searching for a way to go deeper, and you've done that in the work that you've done, and especially in the new study guide for the Lamb's Supper. I mean, wow.
You know, it's been 10 years since the Lamb's Supper came out, and I never, in my wildest dreams, I never expected it to do as well as it's done, not only in terms of sales, you know, over 500,000, but also in terms of languages, but most especially in terms of the lives that have been touched and changed. I mean, kids, 11-and-a-half-year-old stopped me at the Philadelphia airport, told me that he read it twice, and that he'd begun going to daily mass with his dad as a result. And I can't even begin to tell you about how many similar testimonies, but I can also tell you this, that in the last 10 years, I have thought so many times of so many things that I wish that I'd added, or I wish that I could just kind of restate this one section, or I could just kind of supplement that chapter with these additional references and insights. And so when I approached Doubleday and said, hey, look, you know, it's been 10 years. What about the possibility of a study guide? They jumped on it, and they were like, absolutely. Why? And I said, because, you know, I've talked to so many people who've been reading it, yeah, individually, studying it in groups and in Bible studies, and so I have a good sense of what it is I could share and how to present it in a way that would really enhance the overall reading enjoyment, and not only just the reading pleasure, but the profitability, just to make the reading and study of the Lamb's Supper, but most especially of the book Revelation, so much more meaningful and powerful to people. And so I'm really grateful to Doubleday for the opportunity to release a study guide that really kind of marks the 10th anniversary of the Lamb's Supper.
Mm. And also, hats off to Ignatius Press. I have to say this again, for releasing the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible as a complete tome that you have worked on for all these years. There's just nothing like it. It's big, it's wonderful, massive. You want to carry it around because it's worthy of the wonderful gift it contains.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to teach people classes and give them lectures and books that give you all about, you know, all the principles and all the theory. It's another thing to actually apply all the theories and all the principles to the reading of sacred scripture, which is what I've been working on with Curtis Mitch and Ignatius Press since 1998. I mean, for the last 12 or more years, we have been taking all of the teachings of Pope John Paul and Pope Benedict and Vatican II and the early church fathers and the doctors of the church like St. Thomas, and patiently working through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then Acts and all the epistles of Paul, going all the way to the Apocalypse. And for the last 7 years, we've been going the same pace through the Old Testament. We're about 80% done. And so I can say that within the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to have the entire Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, not just the New Testament, but those footnotes are just chock full of quotes from the early church fathers, references of the liturgy, as well as cultural and historical details that will really make the background come alive and will make the text much, much more meaningful. We also have, you know, a lot of the common objections being answered or addressed when it comes to Mary or the Pope, the, you know, purgatory and the saints and that sort of thing. But most especially, we're just trying to show, you know, help people to read the Bible from the heart of the church and exhibit the plain and simple fact that when you read the Bible according to the Catholic tradition, you discover that the Catholic tradition has singularly the greatest explanatory power when it comes to making sense of sacred scripture. I mean, Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, Orthodox, they all have great things to contribute. They all have insights. But if you want to pull it all together and then just kind of take it to the next level and recognize that the church's teaching is really rooted in the scriptures, but it empowers us to go back to the Bible and just have an easier time going deeper and deeper. I mean, that's really our goal, and that's what we've been hearing from people who have been using the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible for the New Testament.
I have to share this with you, Scott, a story from a religious sister that I spoke to the other day when I said that I was going to be talking to you. And she just took a deep breath and said, oh my gosh, tell him how the Catholic Bible Dictionary, it changed her prayer life. And this is how, and just, it's a study of the word, capital W, but she said, even that little one word, understanding it, can change everything. And she was referring to the story of, it was Jairus' daughter, and she, it touched her when she went back in the Bible dictionary and she found that the meaning of the term that was used by Jesus to rise, little girl, was actually rise, little lamb.
Right.
And that, for her, Scott, changed her entire prayer life because that little understanding, that word that wasn't just little girl, but it was a connection to the lamb. Wow. I mean, you should have seen her face.
Well, you should have seen mine. it's one of those things where, text after text, book after book, in every single chapter, there are treasures like that. And not just intellectual insights, but personal connections where all of a sudden you hear God speaking to me, as a child, but even more, as someone who's weak and wounded and in need of the medicine of mercy. And to hear God speak, not only with truth, but with affection, with a love that just reaches into the depth, the deepest parts of our heart, that is so gratifying to hear. And especially when you're talking about somebody who's consecrated their lives, mm-hmm. and then they get to learn about it. Years ago, decades ago, when I first started reading the Bible, my first and one of my best teachers just made it clear that you really need to read the Bible, but you need a Bible dictionary in order to understand it, because you're going to encounter terms. You're going to find, situations where you're like, okay, what is the geography here? What is the cultural background? What is the meaning of this term? And everybody knows that a Bible dictionary is sort of like the most basic tool for getting through the Bible. But we have been using Protestant Bible dictionaries, and many of them have just countless insights. But there are gaps, and there I would also say that, you have some wrong turns being made at times. And so it's easy to read them and feel a little lost. And so I was somewhat startled when an archbishop asked me to write one, and I said, well, why? And he said, well, there hasn't been a good one since, for nearly 50 years. And, of course, I knew that at one level because I was using the 50-year-old Bible dictionary and feeling, how old and somewhat outdated it was. But it just never occurred to me, as a scholar and a teacher, to sit down and work on one. Well, if I had known then what I know now, I probably would have said, thanks, but no thanks. But then, our Lord mercifully keeps us from seeing just all of the burdens that are necessary to complete a task. I am so grateful now for the last several years, but boy, I tell you, it is a good thing to get off my plate and to be able to share with others.
This concludes part one of our discussion with Dr. Scott Hahn, going inside the pages of Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini. For more information about many of the books that we discussed today with Dr. Hahn, go to www.salvationhistory.com. the website for the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. To download a copy of Verbum Domini, go to www.vatican.va, the website for the Vatican. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for part two of our very special discussion with Dr. Scott Hahn on Inside the Pages. Insights from today's most compelling authors.